You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com. And click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. Yes, He is good.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to Change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
When you stay where you are, you will stay who you are. So as long as she stayed where she was, she didn't grow. But the moment she stepped out of where she was, stepped out of comfort zone, she even acknowledged about having ego. Once you step out of where you are, you will step into a new person, a new identity, a new growth. So when you stay where you are, you will stay who you are. If you need pen and paper, just slip up your hand. You can write. Okay, yeah. But she take hers with her. Well, let me keep going. When you stay, point proven, when you stay where you are, you stay who you are. So there's no growth if you don't do anything different. Amen? While I'm at it, let me go ahead and give you this one to you. Then I pray. My job is to love. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. My job is to love. And because you are believers, your job is to love. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. And scripture for that is John chapter 16, verse 8. Mind my business, and that's what he shared with me. Say, Paul, don't sweat it. Don't sweat it. What was the book a while ago? Don't sweat the small stuff. He said, your job is to love. People are not used to love. People are afraid of love. You do wrong, and people are ready for you to lash out at them, just love them. People lie on you, just love them. That doesn't mean that you don't call things out. But when you call it out, you'll do it in a way where it has no guilt, it has no shame, it has no condemnation attached to it. Because see, if you know that he's the convictor, then you can say, hey, Cheryl, you might want to make adjustment in this area. Hey, Wayne, you might want to make adjustment in this area. hey, Reverend, you might want to make adjustment in this area. I'll come back to you. But it'd be done from a different place. But when you have the anger, when you have the resentment, no matter what you say, it'll be received the wrong way. But when you have peace in it, it can be received. See, the Holy Spirit will convict. See, the Holy Spirit won't deal with the stuff that we mess up in the area that we mess it up in. But when he calls us to do something, and we are to say it the way he told us to say it, then he will convict. He'll tell that person, you were wrong. You need to go apologize. Ask the perfect example. It took 9 years for that, but she did it, right? And did you hear her say she felt better after doing it? So when you hear me say that you could have operated in peace minutes ago, it doesn't take long to get healed. But it's a decision that we want to hold on to something, and all the while the Holy Spirit is convicting you. What's your part in this thing? Follow me? So that's free. That's before I even did open the prayer. You had a question. You need me to repeat it one more time?
You said, my job is to love the Holy Spirit's job.
Convict. Now, notice that scripture didn't say, can you pull that up, Monty? John chapter 16, verse 8. Notice it didn't say condemn. The Holy Spirit's job is to condemn. He didn't say the Holy Spirit's job is to condemn. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. And what that means is, when he convicts us, he'll say, Mary, you better than that. You have you have Christ living on the inside of you. You have victory living on the inside of you. So you can step past this area. You don't have to deal with this area. I'm in you. You follow me? Now, condemn means what? If the Holy Spirit condemned us, what would that sound like? What would that conversation sound like? Nicole, ready for the mic. Go ahead, give Nicole the mic. Nicole, like, I got something to say. Just give me the mic. I'm going to say it, Pastor, because I know what condemning feels like. Go ahead, Nicole.
I definitely know it could do.
See, I told you she did like it. Like, Roslyn, where you at?
I was waiting for the hands to go
okay.
up. Yeah, of all the times that you've done it before, this is no different. You made the same mistake time and time after again. All kinds of things come okay. to your mind, but it's always negative.
It's always negative. Who else want to talk about condemnation? I got one right here. Now, notice the Holy Spirit convicts. Conviction is to bring you to a place of repentance by reminding you your true worth.
That you'll never get it right.
You'll never get it right. You always get it wrong. Okay? Who else? Y'all try to act like y'all holy? Because y'all are. Okay? I got one right here. This is before the message starts. What did it say in 16? Let's see. When he comes, I'm still with you. He'll expose the errors of godless worldviews of sin, righteousness, and judgment. He'll show them that their refusal to believe in him, in me, is their basic sin. That righteousness comes from above, where I am with the Father and out of their sight and control. Yes, ma'am.
And you call yourself a Christian.
And you call yourself a Christian. How many of y'all heard that one? Okay. But the Holy Spirit never said that to you. He said you are a Christian. So how come you're acting that way? You better than this. Turn to your neighbor. Your neighbor might faint. You better than this. All right, let's go get our move back. I had fun. If I'm in joy, I don't care how they are, they're going to work out because I'm only going to speak what I want to happen. So joy will turn those situations around because your job is to love. The Holy Spirit's job is to convict. Somebody wrong with you, he's going to convict them. He's going to convict them. But meanwhile, let's go ahead and do our opening confession. A quick review so that way we can bring you up to speed. We've been talking about spiritual adulting, and that is spiritual growth, spiritual maturity. Act like an adult.
So when you said as far as, like, you know, that the Holy Spirit is going to convict, so you said God said revenge is mine.
Okay.
So what that means to me is that, you know, regardless, well, it depends upon the situation or the circumstance, you can, you know, share to someone, let them know how they made you feel.
Okay.
And or you can just say, okay, God, you said revenge is yours, okay. So I'm going to keep it moving.
Okay, amen. All right. Yes, ma'am.
What I remember from Thursday, my takeaway was nothing in the world can trouble you as much as your own thoughts.
What does that mean to you, Tarek?
So that means to me is basically, you just said, you said earlier, I mean, you get freedom when you want it. You mm-hmm. stay in bondage because you haven't changed.
Amen.
So you have control of your thoughts, and mm-hmm. we can replace those thoughts. We can change those thoughts. We don't have to stay in that mindset.
Amen.
You know, so you get free as quickly as you want to get free.
Okay, right? Amen. Don't get me shouting there. Cheryl?
I got bad relationships change good people.
Come on now. What does that mean to Michelle?
Oh, it means a lot. obviously. By subjecting yourself to these bad relationships and not getting out of them as soon as possible, when you see that they're bad, that's the time to run. Don't okay. wait and marinate in it okay. because it's going to change the way you think about life. Okay. And other people are going to pay for that mindset that you now have in your head about people because of the relationship you were in with that crazy person.
Amen. Click, click, click. Who else had a hand? I got one right here and one here. Go ahead, man.
Don't look for the payback or see it because the word of God says vengeance is his. He will repay.
Okay.
So if somebody do you wrong or say something bad about you or they have his words say, touch not my anointed, and vengeance is his, and he will repay. So when somebody do you wrong, just give God his word back. Lord, vengeance is yours. You repay that person for what they said or did to me. And just keep it moving.
All right. There's a lot of keep it moving today. All right.
I had the same thing as Madeline. And I said, Father, you said vengeance is yours. Pay it.
Pay it. That's it. That's it. That's what I said on Thursday. Say pay it. Every time I think about it, I just say pay it. I'm serious. Because, guys, the Holy Spirit, Curly taught me this. Curly taught me. She said, get your hands off. Just get your hands off. Let's pray. And see, we're thinking that vengeance means he's going to come in and beat people up. But you know, that's what we want to have. Take them out, Lord. Nicole, But see, he's going to go in and he's going to deal with the heart. He's going to deal with the heart issue. When they go to sleep, they're going to see me. When they go to the mirror and they think they're going to look in the mirror to see them as they fix the hair, they're going to see me. When they go to look at their husband, they're going to see me. They're going to see me until they repent. That's how this thing works, guys. They're going to hear me. They're going to hear you. But see, this is a promise you got to activate. Don't just, you know, y'all confess finances when you need it, right? Y'all need to confess, Father. You deal with it. But you make sure your heart right. Father, I don't want them to go to hell. That's why I'm coming to you. The people you need to get on your feet. There's 1,300 people missing in that fire thing. How many of them are saved? We'll never know. But see, we need to make sure our hearts are right. When our heart's right and we repent in the area we're supposed to, okay, Father, I got life to do. So I'm going to go ahead and turn them over to you and let you fix it. And he's going to go to their heart. He's going to start whispering to them. He's going to start having conversations where people come up and they start talking to him about things like forgiveness, about doing things to people and thinking you're going to keep getting away with it because you won't. Amen? Amen? All right. So anybody? Oh, yes.
Take 7 positive thoughts to cancel out of negative thoughts.
So
one negative thought.
Yeah.
And to me, that's strong because I didn't know a negative thought is that powerful.
A negative thought is that powerful. Yes, sir. So it takes 7 positive thoughts, 7 positive statements to override 1 negative thought. Notice I said statements. So you have to say something out of your mouth 7 times. I can count. To replace 1 negative thought. Notice 1 is a thought and the other one is a statement. You follow what I'm saying? So when you think something, it has already started to manifest. Let me give y'all this right quick. I've been spending a lot of time with the Holy Spirit. My wife told me, speak in tongues more, honey. And boy, let me tell you, that thing worked. Let me see here. Ooh, here we go. Make sure your worst enemy is not living between your own ears. Y'all know where that is? What's in between your ears, Rosalind? What's in between your ears? Brain. So, yeah, I'm going to get you. So it takes 7 positive statements to override 1 negative thought. The thought is in your head. The statement comes out of your mouth. Make sure your worst enemy is not living between your own ears. That means whatever's in your head, in between this ear and this ear, make sure that's not your worst enemy. Because we want to point to other people and say they are the issue. But what are you thinking? What's in between your head? Everybody got it? All right, so I'm eventually get over here. But anyway, Bonetta. We've been talking about the process of us becoming more like Jesus. Going process that does not end on earth. So we'll be always, he said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. We'll always be renewing ourselves, our mindset, how we think, how we respond, how we react. Replace what pleases us with what pleases God. So God comes first. And then we talked about how we have to radically prioritize our life to make sure that there's more God in it than what? Y'all fill in the what? Than us? What else? What would stop us from having more God in our life? The world? What does that mean? he got the mic, not using it.
Everything around you. It could be TV shows, okay. Social media, friends, okay. Your job.
Okay.
Anything could okay. Distract you.
All right, so we talked about the characteristics of spiritual maturity or spiritual adulting, all right? We said understand the difference between right and wrong, then choosing what is right, okay? Because we can get offended, and we can stop choosing what is right. We can get offended, and we just say, forget about that. I want to say what I want to say. So today we're going to talk about number 2. Spiritual maturity is not being swayed by false teaching. Spiritual maturity is not being swayed by false teaching. In John, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Beloved, let's read it together. Do not believe every spirit speaking through a self-proclaimed prophet. Instead, test the spirit to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets and teachers have gone out into the world. Do not believe every spirit. Somebody come to you and tell you that tithing is not for today, is that of God? No. Somebody tell you that you don't have to marry, just live with them, is that of God? No. Somebody tell you that you don't have to come to church, you don't need to have a church home, but God in Hebrews says, forsake not the assembly of us together as the manner of some are. But then he goes on to say about how in the latter days people will stop coming to church. So when you wake up this morning and you feel tired because you party till 2 a.m. in the morning and you say, I don't feel like going to church, what voice is that? Is that God? He told you to stay home. But anyway, I'm going to keep on going because I need to talk about this thing. Because guys, there's a lot of stuff going on, a lot of data coming at you, a lot of information coming at you, and you got to determine, all you got to do is line up with the scripture. What does the scripture say about this? So when someone tells you something contrary to that, what does the scripture say about that? See, your character is extremely important, because what your character is what you do when nobody's around. So if you have a chaotic lifestyle and you know somebody has a peaceful lifestyle, and that character of peace has been their mark and their trade. So when chaos comes to you, and peace comes to you, and people bring issues about you, look at the character of the person. Now, this is chaotic. They always bring chaos. They always bring trouble. And then you got the characteristics of a person that always bring peace. Who are you going to believe? It's a real question. I'm asking you the question. Why would you believe the peace person? It might come in your way. Rosalind looked at the man like, brother, you better get over here. Yes, sir. She gave him the mommy look. Y'all know what the mommy look. You know the mommy look. You give it all the time. You give it to me. She's not even my mom, and she be giving it to me. I'm like, okay.
Because you always talk about a person's profile.
Person profile.
Or their reputation.
Okay.
So you know this person always has a, you know, they're known for doing a certain thing.
Okay.
You know, you speak, you kind of speak the, like what you are, right? So it always going to be that way.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You ever said to somebody, that don't sound like them? Do not believe every spirit, but try the spirit. How are you going to try the spirit? You can try it by a person's characteristics. You can try it by how you believe a person. How have you known that person to be? I see one here. Now he read it. Now he got it.
I was trying to look this up. That's why I was distracted.
Okay, go ahead, brother. Bro, I forgot to say, though.
One of a post that I put online, it says, don't let people pull you into their storm. Pull them into your peace.
Okay, amen. Go ahead, bro. Brother Ty, he did a comeback, Ron. You got to give him points. You got to give him points, sir. He did a comeback, brother. Said, I got to fix that. All right, but check this out, y'all. I want to talk to y'all. We're swayed by listening to the third voice. I got to go there. So look, one voice is the voice of God. That's the voice we ought to be in tune to. But let me tell you a secret about the voice of God. He will never raise his voice. Because he says that if you're paying attention to me, all I got to do is whisper. Because this is one thing I learned about conflict. The higher they go, the lower your voice goes. Because if my voice is so low, you got to stop screaming to hear what I got to say. So the Holy Spirit said, look, I never raise my voice. He can see you running full force into a wall and he knows you're going to go over it. He'll still say, Paul, the cliff. Now, if I don't listen for that voice, then what's going to happen? I'm going over the cliff. Your mom, I remember my mom, it's like, when I got in trouble, Megan, mom just whispered, Paul. I'm like, oh. When I get in trouble, this wasn't even my middle name, but she created one. Paul Lawrence Dunbar. I'm like, what? That's not even my name, it made me listen. I'm like, who's she talking to? So the third one is whack, whack. Y'all know what whack, whack is, right? So there's three voices. There's God's voice. And you heard me say he never raises his voice. It's our voice. It's called self-talk. We're talking to ourselves all the time. I think the research showed that we talk at an average speed in our mind at 300,000 thoughts per second. That's a whole lot of thinking, isn't it? And then I think the third voice is. Who said that? Satan. So what do you think Satan is saying? Wait a minute. That's right. A lot of people don't even believe Satan exists. Yeah, he's defeated. But guess what? He used people. He used people. Turn to your neighbor. I like this one. Turn to your neighbor. Go ahead. Turn to him. Is he using you? Did he use you to insult? Yeah. Pay attention, people. Keep it together. Did he use you to insult anybody today? Today, yeah. She says early. How many of y'all been? She says too early. How many of you guys have been insulted already today? Raise your hand if you've been insulted by somebody today. Raise your hand so we can see it. Raise your hand if you have been insulted by someone today. That's four people. So it's early. But four people have already been insulted. So Satan used four people this morning already. Check this out. Who are you listening to? Uh-oh. I got a mic right here. Who are you listening to? Because are you using God's voice? Are you listening to God's voice? Are you listening to your voice? Because if your voice get ready to say something out of the way, God's voice will come in. And he'll start to whisper something to you. And then you say, This might not feel spiritual to you. You say, just be quiet, God. I got this. Some people even bold enough say, you don't know what you're talking about. You telling me that I need to forgive them, and you don't even know what they did to me. We talking about the God, the omnipresent, the omniscient God that knows everything before it's done, that's always everywhere at all times, and we telling him he didn't know what they did to him, to us? Yes, ma'am.
So this week.
Oh, this week.
I had an issue with a coworker, and It happened on two separate days. So the first day, she tried to steal my tip.
Ooh.
And someone else, I didn't even know I had it. It was okay. sitting in my area. And someone said, Erica, did you get your money that was sitting up there? And I was like, what money? And so then she pulled it out as if someone had not said anything, she would have kept it.
Okay.
And so then she gave it to me. And so then another day went past, and she took one of my tables.
Oh.
So first I got really upset. And I was like, okay, Lord, how do you want me to handle this? So everybody knows I go to church, and okay. I do, you know. Okay, okay. I'm like, okay, Lord, how do you want
me to handle this? At least you ask God, though, at least.
This situation. Mm-hmm. Because another girl who's really cool with me saw it happen, okay. and she was like, how is she about to handle this?
Okay.
So I just waited, and I spoke very softly to her. Okay. And I said, you know, when the other servers see that something could be becoming overwhelming, they ask.
Okay.
And then she stopped and looked like, I thought you were about to chew my head off.
Okay.
So it's like, one, I did, like, I talked very softly okay. to her. I made mm-hmm. sure no one else heard me.
Awesome. Okay.
And I tried to give it to her in a way that she didn't feel I was attacking her.
Okay, very good.
And yeah. so then she was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I just saw him looking at me. I said, they all look at us.
Okay. Cool. Come on now.
You know, I was like, that's not how we do it.
Okay. All right.
And it was like, I could see that she was just like, okay, I got checked. Gotcha. But okay. I just had to, I really had to find a nice way
okay.
in how to put it. Because that's, my spirit was uh-huh. not, that's my it. Personal spirit, not the God
right.
in me.
Right, I got you.
Was not feeling like I really just wanted to go in.
Okay.
But I knew it would change everybody's thought of how they perceive me.
Glory to God. So whose voice was she listening to? Erica. How many of y'all know Erica? I mean, like, no Erica. Erica tough. Don't get it twisted. She might be short, but my girl tough. She'll tighten you up. What y'all call it? Check you? Erica can check you. Okay? So, Erica, get Erica back to Mike. We want to hear the Satan version of this. Okay? So you know, okay? yeah. So, when you said you had to, y'all think she did some self-talk? Okay. All right, but if you was going to check her the Erica way.
It was a lot of self-talk okay. because when I was in high school, I had 1 year that I used cursing a whole lot.
Okay. All right.
And I realized I didn't like you know it, and I could feel that the first thing that popped in my mind was what the...
Okay, all right, we getting there.
And I think the other girl saw it, the expression.
Okay.
And then I was, this is like the second time, are you kidding me?
Okay, all right.
And it's like, I just kept thinking, I want to say a curse word, but I cannot. And it's like every time I looked at her, I'm like, oh my goodness. And I was just, I had to, like, I walked to the back. Uh-huh. I came back up. Okay. I'm looking at her. I looked at the dude. It's yeah. like I wanted to just go off on all of them.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Like, and then I wanted, he won't even, okay, forgive me. He was not even black, and I thought right. of the other word.
Okay,
like, okay. Are you kidding me?
Okay, all right.
And then
see,
I'm like,
something got triggered.
It was just like a lot of thoughts okay. went on, and I just kept going, okay, how can I say this the okay. way it doesn't sound mean? It doesn't okay. sound mean, because I okay. know anything I say out my mouth right now is going to sound really mean. So it took like a good probably 5 to 10 minutes
okay.
of me like talking to myself, to God, back to myself, back to like, oh, God, she about to... And then I looked at the other girl, and then I'm looking at, and I'm like, it's like, I'm just like, oh.
Okay.
And I was just like, okay, I got to go to the bathroom. And I just went to the bathroom, like, I'll be back. And then it's like, I came back, and we were like really busy.
Uh-huh.
And I came back, because I didn't even really go to use the bathroom. I just right. had to get myself yeah, together.
Yeah.
I mean, I started sweating everything, because I really wanted to say some curse words
okay.
at this girl. Because it was the second time it happened. The first time I overlooked it. And at the end of the day, the other young lady, she was like, girl, I thought you were going to go slam off.
Okay.
Because one of our friends told me the other day that she did da da da. Okay. I was like, okay, so she did see that. Uh-huh. She felt the same way I felt.
Okay.
And she wanted to get her.
Okay.
And so she was like, but I couldn't because Erica ain't say nothing. So I was like, okay.
But right. Yeah, it really, I had to do a lot of self talk.
Okay. So other people was looking at Erica. What's this church girl gonna do? Now she still confronted the issue. So don't get me wrong. Don't get me twisted. Love does what's best for the other person. What does that mean? Erica needed to confront that situation because this woman was doing the same thing before, doing it to other people. But love did what was best for the woman, meaning that before somebody kill you for taking their tips, I'm going to save you because I'm going to share with you, if you fix it now, we can stop this now. So who do you love enough where you need to address something? Because y'all know, I teach for growth. I don't teach where you stay the same. Y'all know it. Raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you who it is. Raise your hand if there's a person or situation you need to address in love. Raise your hand. I see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, new one, 16, 17, 18, 19. Keep it coming. 20. Okay. So let me ask you guys something. Who wants to? Don't tell us about the person, but what's stopping you from sharing? I got one right here.
I'll say the scenario. Okay. So I am struggling with having good relationship with my daughter.
Okay. Okay. Appreciate that.
I'm frustrated.
Okay.
And when I share things with her, I know that I've done the thing in the beginning that you said is like condemning and judging, right? Because I see she's not putting forth her best effort.
Okay.
And then there's also a lot of pushback.
Okay.
A lot. It okay. seems as if it's every time. Okay. That's how it feels.
Okay.
So I need to go to her and hold her accountable, but I don't know how to do it without the anger okay. that I'm feeling.
Okay.
Because I know she's better than this. I know she's not putting forth her best effort. But me, I'm not helping for her to get to that.
Okay, got
right?
You.
The way
okay.
I'm communicating.
Okay.
It's probably making her dig in even okay. more to okay. where she's at.
All right, appreciate you, Honor. One of the things, Megan, I want to ask you to ask her and do this around bedtime. The reason why I say around bedtime, because kids like to stay up and they like to do it by any means necessary. Right, Jasmine? And you know, it's like they'll come up with everything. They didn't mention anything hurt. Oh, my leg hurt. Can I get some milk? Okay. What's the milk going to do to your leg? It'll make my leg feel better. I mean, they just come up with anything. So right around bedtime, you ask her, and it's going to be totally off key. What are you really angry about? Because, see, when you act out, there's an anger attached to it, and they're lashing. See, people lash out at who they love. Now go ahead and put it down. You can go ahead and write it down. People lash out at who they love because they know you'll still love them. Amen? So that's what you want to do. And don't accept I don't know for an answer. Okay? And then
I tell her, yeah, I said, yeah. I don't know is a lazy answer.
Okay, yeah.
Or it means you don't want to share. You yeah. really know. And we say, we'll come back, and we're going to ask you again.
Okay. Yeah, we just going to sit right here on the bed.
Okay.
If I got to hold your eyes open like this, I just got to hold your eyes open. Yeah, but we are going to process this issue. Okay? And then when you have some time, Miss Curly, raise your hand. Curly was a master at dealing with that, so you guys spent some time together. And she has a lot of example. I'm serious. Go to someone who, yeah, y'all have lunch together or something, but. She'll be able to help you through it. Amen? Who else needs to confront something? And my question is, why haven't you? Mike is here.
This mic is very strange.
Okay.
I've got the opposite problem. I have trouble with being assertive and speaking out
okay.
when something bothers me.
Okay.
And I live in a rooming house with okay. a bunch of people.
Uh-huh.
And there's this person who is he's an alcoholic.
Okay.
And he has a tendency just to knock on people's doors and just walk right into their rooms.
Okay. Right.
And without yelling and screaming at him, I'm having a hard time telling him to just stay out of my room.
Okay.
And so I don't know how to do it without screaming. Other people scream.
Okay.
But I want to get my point across, but I don't want to necessarily scream at them.
Okay. So. And what are you afraid would happen if you were assertive? See, when we don't confront something, there's normally a fear attached to it. So I'm just wondering, what are you concerned would happen if you were assertive?
I think I've always been one of those people pleasers.
Okay, all right.
And they won't like me anymore, okay. Which okay. I know.
It's okay. Okay.
You know how you know okay. something, uh-huh. but you don't
okay.
feel it?
Okay, all right. So if you're willing to, Sue, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so Sue, what I want you to do is I want you to say, hey, look, I need to share something with you. And I know you might not like me after this. Mm. See, I'm giving them my fear.
Oh, okay.
You follow me?
Yeah.
So I'm telling them, you know, it's like when you talk to Christians, I know I only have to use it with Christians. I don't have to use it with nobody else. I know you will be, what I'm about to share, you'll probably be mad at me and not speak to me for 3 days. Is that me knowing somebody's profile? Yeah. That I can time it for 3 days? Mm-hmm. And so what I did was, as a Christian, Christians will say, I'm not mad. So when I told them in advance that I know you're going to be mad at me for about 3 days, then they make a decision, I'm going to prove them wrong. So I'm not going to be mad at him at all. You follow me? So with this person, you say, hey, look, and use your hands. See, the mind reads hands before it reads words. So 10% of words is what people hear. 20% is body language. And then 70% is paraverbal, what's on the inside. So when certain situations where I want you to stand down, I'll use my hands. And I say, I know you will probably be, and then I go ahead with it. Because I'm telling you, shut it down and listen to what I have to say. So I just told y'all a secret, y'all. You so everybody going to walk around on Sundays like, yeah, you know, you need to, uh-huh, yeah, okay, all right, okay. So you put it down. You say, I know you might not like me after what I'm about to share. But see, they're looking at your hands. Okay? So just do that. Okay? I hear one beside you. Oh, no. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it was me. This is with my brother.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Now, he calls me daily.
Daily.
You know
okay.
what I mean?
Uh-huh.
I mean, to the point where I got to cut him off. Okay. I mean, you didn't call it enough today. I don't want to talk to you no more.
So he calls more than once?
About 10 times.
Okay. Okay. All right.
So I haven't heard from him in 4 days.
Okay, all right.
And I've been, you know, still calling, still texting and whatnot, but he's not responding.
Okay.
Now, Mom says, you know, don't worry about it because, you know, it might be something up.
Okay.
But to me, it's weird
because
I hear from him every day, all day.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So now I did, I'm sorry if I did anything wrong. I apologize. Please forgive me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I miss our conversations. I sent that.
Okay.
Still didn't get a response.
Okay. Okay. That's all you can do. Seriously, that's all you can do. Because you can't talk to somebody that's not talking back. That's what communication is. And once you have said, please forgive me if I offended you or if I did something wrong, and you still haven't got a response back, there's nothing else you can do until you see him or hear from him. Then once you hear from him, you can say, well, what was going on, bro? Because, you know, I called you, da 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 da.
Nah, he wouldn't answer that. He'll just leave that alone.
Okay,
just,
okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay, all right. Yeah, but there's nothing you can do if he's not talking back.
Right.
Yeah. All right now. Okay. All right. Mom said, I got
Boy,
this.
I will not get in it.
Okay.
I told him, that's between you, him, and God.
Okay, all right.
You guys work it out.
Okay.
And I don't think there's anything going on wrong because I couldn't get Brad yesterday either.
Okay.
I think he was busy yesterday.
Okay.
Yeah. So I think Gary's just feeling a little emotional about it because he haven't heard from him since he does call him a lot. And I think it's beautiful that the brother will call him 10, 12 times a day.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That you haven't heard from him. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. There's nothing you can do until he talks to you.
Yeah. Put me in it.
Okay. You stand out up. Okay, you heard, Mom. Did you have something? Yes.
I did. I have to, and I'm actually planning on doing it tomorrow.
Okay.
And not address it with my boss in a way of, you know, coming after her, being mad at her, or anything like that. But there's just no discipline.
Okay.
At my job.
Okay.
And we have young ladies who show up 10, 15, 20 minutes late.
Okay.
who change their schedule and don't show up for 3-4 hours. They don't run the bank deposits and leave large amounts of cash around. And so it's just, it's getting to the point where it's affecting my job because they're not doing their job. I'm having to pick up the slack and fill out their paperwork and okay. run their deposits.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to try to talk to my boss about that tomorrow.
Okay. So if you can, you make a decision, prioritize the three things you want to bring up, okay? Anything past three is too much, okay. and they'll consider you, what's the B word, but don't y'all say it all out.
Yep, I got you.
Okay, y'all got it? Yeah, y'all got it? Yeah. Okay, all right. So, you know, so how I come in at the situation is, look, you know, I know there's a lot of things going on. You always look for how can you make it sound and be received as if you're not putting her leadership down. Say, hey, look, I know I got stuff. I know, you know, I got stuff going on. I don't get everything right. But these are some areas. Always put it company-wise, not personal-wise. So I feel like we might be losing money by. You follow me? Okay. All right. Everybody else good? Doc, what you got? It's coming your way.
My niece called me about a month ago.
Okay.
I mean, most people know that, you know, if you're retired or you're at home, if you get up early, it makes it a long day. So most people know I don't get up real early.
Okay.
But anyway, she called me, and I told her I had just woke up. I said, Vicki, I just woke up. I haven't been to the ladies' room. I haven't done this, and I haven't done that. Give me a time to get myself together, and I'll call you back.
Okay.
She goes, no, because she's on her way to work. She said, I called to get you straight. So that kind of woke me up a little bit. So that kind of woke me up a little bit. So I said, Vicki, I just woke up. I mean, just literally woke up and grabbed the phone. I said, and you got to give me time. So she kept insisting that she wanted to get me straight about a situation that her and her mother had talked about.
Okay.
So at that point, I had told her three times, you know, just let me get myself together. And then, you know, what did I do wrong? But she wanted to talk, and she was just, you know, one of these people that talk and not give you a chance to get a word in. So I said, look, person.
Uh-oh.
I said, look, person. Uh-oh. I done told you.
Okay, all right.
So at that point, she hung up on me.
Oh.
So I set boundaries.
Okay.
So I called her mother, and I told her mother, I said, look, I think your daughter was very disrespectful. She don't hang up on me.
Okay.
That's disrespectful. I'm older than her, and she, you know, anyway. So I set boundaries. I'm not going to call her, but when she does call me, I'm going to set her straight.
Okay. All right. Y'all heard that, didn't you? She put a finger out there, too, Teresa. She's like, I'm going to get her straight. So write this down. This one for you, Doc, and anybody else who want to listen. Never waste your time. All right? Y'all going to write this down. Nicole, this is good. You're going to like this one. Never waste your time. Let me read it first. Trying to explain who you are to people who are committed to misunderstanding you. Y'all ready? Never waste your time trying to explain who you are to people who are committed. That means they made a decision to misunderstanding you. So when you call her back, when she called back, she's committed to misunderstanding you. Because you said, I need to use the bathroom, I just woke up. And she didn't care about you, the fact you on the phone like this because you got to use the bathroom. She didn't care anything about you because she wanted to say what she wanted to say. So I say it one more time. Never waste your time trying to explain who you are. I'm going with you, Chris. Who you are to people who are committed to misunderstanding you. So people who are committed to misunderstanding you want you to spend time, Teresa, explaining yourself. and they will listen for everything that you try to explain to overcome the objective that they had. What they will do is they will come up with a new objective. Because they have already said in your mind, you ain't blank, you ain't this, you ain't that. And so you're spending time trying to explain yourself to someone who have already made up their mind that they don't care about you. Y'all need me to say it one time? Never waste your time trying to explain who you are. And you can go ahead and put in parentheses and what you meant. Can I get a sword? To people who are committed to misunderstanding you. You know, certain people you can't even ask them for forgiveness. I don't want to hear that. That's weak. What you doing that for? And I like how Ashley pressed through. And Ashley, you know, Ashley didn't tell us everything, but basically she told her sister, shut up and listen. I'm going to ask for forgiveness, and you're going to just shut up and listen. All right, so y'all got that? And I got to end with this one. Lawson, you're going to like it. Be careful how you are talking to yourself because you are listening. Be careful how you are talking to yourself because you are listening. Now, remember what Top Gun shared earlier about Thursday night happy hour, about it takes seven. What he said stood out to him was it takes seven statements to override one negative thought. So can you imagine what's going on the inside? You're not being aware of that you're talking to yourself and you're listening. Guys, taking authority over your thought life is paramount. It has to happen. Because there are things, I just get tired of my father getting blamed for things that we cause to happen. You were leaving for a healthy relationship, and your self-talk says, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve the best. I don't deserve this. So I'm gonna settle for this, because if I don't, then I'll end up being by myself. And then you're listening to that self-talk. And the mind is grabbing it and saying, okay, that must be what they really want, is an unhealthy relationship. So, you know, God is sending by you great people of character, integrity, employment. You'd be amazed at how, you know, if you got this thing that I got to rescue somebody because of my worth, then who's going to be sending you that relationship? Because it won't be God. So in order to feel good about myself, I'm a rescuer. I'm talking about the people's mindset. So he's going to send Satan. Satan said, hey, I got one for you. They got a job. They got $40,000 in a savings account. They drive a BMW. They got their own house. You still living with your mom. You 45. And he said, I got just the right person. So he's going to send them your way, Audrey. I mean, not your way. I'm just looking at Audrey. I'm just looking at her face. All right? We good. I call your name out. Is that okay? Yes. Okay. I'm not picking on anybody. Okay? And so he's going to send them. Satan's going to send them that way. See, I fixed that way. Okay? Because she tough. Now. She tough. And then what happens is you keep saying that the relationship should end. Your friends are telling you this doesn't seem like it match up. But you tell the friends, you come up with the greatest statement of all, when I want to do wrong, but you don't understand. I believe that I can change them. I believe that I can fix them. I believe that God sent them to me. Now, we're talking about being swayed by listening to the third voice. Now, if God sent them to you, it's for you to get them saved. Not to date them, because see, God won't go against his word. His word says, don't be unequally yoked. He not saved, and you saved. He doesn't have a job, and you got one. See, unequally yoked don't just mean saved. Go ahead, Wayne. Wayne want to preach. He give me a say, amen. Guys, if you got potential, you got to deal with somebody that has potential. You don't deal with scum if you are priceless. Now, y'all understand what I'm saying? I'm talking about dating relationship. I'm talking about I'm looking for somebody to marry. You can help folk, but if you get ready to date and spend time with them, if you priceless and they not, you're going to spend all your time trying to fix what can't be fixed. And what I mean what can't be fixed is we are where we are because that's where we choose to be. It's right there. Now, y'all heard the Rags to Riches story? Where you can hear no Sylvester Stallone with one. How many times he tried to get the Rocky thing shown? Over and over. Nobody believed him. Nobody trusted. But he wouldn't take no for an answer. So we are where we are because that's where we choose to be. And we can make decisions that are different, more powerful, more anointed. But guys, don't go down to try to go up. If he's made you priceless, that's where you are. And you judge things based off his voice. I'm telling you, you wouldn't believe the justification that I get in counseling when someone comes in for premarital counseling because they want to marry somebody. And all the signs are saying, I say, so, I'm real smooth with my stuff, though. So what your parents think about this relationship? So what's cool with that? So I'm asking, what your parents think about this? Because I know, based off what I'm seeing, your parents think, boy, you making a big mistake with here. Then, you know, they'll shiver around that one a little bit. And then I say, well, what does your friends think about this relationship? What's your girlfriend's name? That you know, I ask a woman to a woman. So what's your girlfriend's name? What does Sally think about this? Then it get a little chill because, you know, it's like you can't run from so many questions. Even my wife said that last night, right, Megan? I asked too many questions. but the bottom line is, what are people saying about this relationship? Because you're unequally yoked. You're going to spend your lifetime trying to get them to come up to a level that they don't want to come up to. And this is the sad part about when you are a rescuer, you don't take no for an answer. When I start to care more about you than you do, that's a problem. And I'm talking to a few people today. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at the clock. Okay? But guys, relationships are supposed to be good. They're supposed to be healthy. God created us for relationships. And so if there's a part of my life that needs to be changed, not only am I going to hear his voice, but my wife will share. See, he said iron sharpens iron. So in order to be iron, you have to be iron. It didn't say iron sharpens wood. So unequally yoked means you are steel and they are wood. So when you go to try to correct wood with steel, it gets cut. You follow me? So over time, what happens is, I'm talking to a few people, man. So you need to make the decision, address the conversation. This relationship is over. I made a mistake. Just always put it on you. It's just that much easier. Just put it on you. I mean, some people have a challenge with that. I don't. Just put it on you. Hey, look, you know, I'm sorry that I wasted your time, but it's obvious that this relationship is just not going where it needs to go. So we need to sever. And you need to move on, and I'll be moving on. Hopefully within that month time, you hadn't given them the keys to your house, keys to your car. I'm just being real with you guys. PIN number to the bank. Hopefully you got more restraint than that. Some people don't, seriously. I'm talking to you guys. Don't try to make it work. You just start dating somebody, you shouldn't be fussing the first 2-3 days. Because they should be putting on an air and you putting on your air. But when it's no, it's no. You add up. You just write down. Let me throw these a few things at you right quick, okay? Y'all write this down, all right? You ready? All right, so you want to check, see whether they're unequally yoked. What church do they go to? How long they been going? Because see, when you ask them what church they go to, what they'll do is they'll start going to your church. So you can see that they're going to church. Follow me? What church do they go to? What job do they have? Now, you got a job. Let's see. How you and your family get along? And I'm meaning mom and dad. Because how they treat the mom is how they're going to treat you. How they treat the dad is how they're going to treat you. You work. How long you been working? Now, these for people looking for a relationship. Okay, yeah. Y'all are already married. Y'all good. Okay. But you can share this with other people. Okay? All right, fair enough. You can share it with other people. How you deal with anger? Because they grabbing folk, throwing people through the window and all that kind of stuff. How do you deal with anger? Or this is a sneaky way. How you deal with conflict? Yeah, that's safer. And when you're asking these questions, you're looking at their body language. If they start moving the foot, now you sit down and you can see them wiggling. I see you, Nicole. Then they don't want to be there. This is too intense for them. They want to be somewhere else. That's why they're wiggling their foot or either tapping the table. Okay? When you have conflict, how do you resolve it? I see you, Nicole. When you have conflict, how do you resolve it? Because you want to find out whether they are going to come back and seek revenge or whether they're going to do something. When you have questions that are, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the odd term? Abstract. When you have an abstract question, only believe 30% of their answer. Now, if you ask them, you know, when I first started out, those were concrete questions, like where do you work and so forth. When you start to get to these concrete questions, then what happens is you only believe 30% of what they're saying because, remember, they're trying to. But the way I designed these questions is they are going to be real uncomfortable because they thought you were a booty call and they recognize that you are a man or woman with brains and are not moved by your emotions. Okay? Got it? Okay? Y'all got a new pastor. I just want to let you know. Okay? Nicole?
Questions yes. in throughout?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're not sitting there with like, by the way.
No. Yeah. I meant like from the first time you meet, maybe I ask you one or two uh-huh. questions, and then this is not like a, we're now getting serious, so now I have my list of questions.
Gotcha. Okay.
Is that?
Yeah. No, no. So you're weaving the questions in as you go along. Now, if you are thinking that it's not going well, then you want to go with the tough questions up front. So say 3 per date. Okay? Y'all got it? Okay. Yes, sir.
For like the parents thing. Uh-huh. Let's say somebody's parents is alcoholic, a drug addict, or whatever.
Okay.
So let's say they won't deal with their parents, I guess in a nice way.
Okay.
Because they're alcoholic. Does that affect still how they would deal with you?
Okay, so say again.
Okay, so I said, let's say their parents are like alcoholic
okay,
or whatever, uh-huh. drug addict. Okay. Does how they treat their parents still affect you, even though
yes.
that's a negative?
Uh-huh. Because how they treat their parents is a subconscious thing. More than likely, if their parents were alcoholic, then they will be rescuers. So they are the most dangerous ones. Now, let me put this the way when I mean dangerous. They are the ones that will seek out somebody that got serious issues. Because they, it's called, what's the term? Where you try to go back. No, it's another term. Where you go back and try to relive your childhood. No, it's not that one. It's not that one. It'll come back to me. But so, most of the time, if you were raised in a family environment where there were a lot of alcoholism and abusive, then that person, what they learn from their mom or their dad is be quiet, go to the room, don't say anything, just put up with it, and it'll change. So take that mindset, now take it into adult relationship, and what would that look like, guys? So I can only go to the relationship that I'm familiar with. So as a result of that, I'm going to go to somebody that will be abusive. Now, when we say holics, that don't mean just alcoholic. They can be pornaholic, workaholic, those types of things. But I'm going to go into a relationship where I need to rescue them. Because I couldn't rescue my mom and dad, I got to find somebody that I can rescue. Okay? Anything else? All right. Any questions? Would you say all hearts and mind clear? All right, let's do our closing confession. All right, let's read together. I stir up the gift that is within me by faith. I'm stirring up the power that is within me. I'm stirring up myself and running fear, procrastination, and every hindering spirit out of my personal and business affairs. And I'm ruled by my spirit. I tell my mind what to think and my body what to do, for I am a master of my emotions. I'm a person of immediate action. I am steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. These goals are my passion. I pursue them with enthusiasm and relentless determination. My feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. My loins are girded about with truth. I have on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, wherewith I quench every fiery dart of the wicked, and nothing shall by any means hurt me. No sickness, disease, incidents, or accidents can come nigh my dwelling. If I drink of any deadly thing, it shall not hurt me. 1,000 shall fall at my side, and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come nigh my dwelling. I came to win, in Jesus' name. Amen.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.